So here in this verse, as Krishna is explaining that before we leave this material body, we have to learn how to control the urges of this body. So this body is created of different kind of senses, of which the mind is the chief. We have a five senses. We have the ears, the nose, the mouth, the skin, the eyes. So those senses are controlled by the mind, by the subtle body inside. We understand this gross body, this is the covering of the subtle body, which is the covering of the soul. So we have actually three kinds of bodies. As the soul, we are covered by three kinds of bodies. We have this gross body. This gross body is called Stula Sharira. Then we have the subtle body, which is made of mind, consisting of the intelligence and false ego. It's called Shukshma Sharira. And then we have the causal body. We don't hear this much being spoken, but it's described in the Upanishads. The causal body, it's called Karana Sharira. So we as a soul, we are covered by these three kind of bodies. And what is controlling this gross body is actually the mind. So we are working with our mind through our desire. So here Krishna explains that if we want to control the senses, we have to learn how to control the mind. And we understand as the chief of all the senses is the tongue. So by taking Krishna prasadam, by chanting the holy name, we can control the tongue, and then the belly and the genitals, they get controlled automatically. That's described in the Nectar of Instruction in the first mantra. Vacha vegam, manasa krodva vegam, jiva vegam, udaro pasta vegam. That someone who can control his tongue, his belly and genitals, and the urges of the mind, which is the different urges of the mind, that is described as lust, anger, greed, illusion, envy, and madness. So someone who can control all these, then such a person is called Swami or Goswami. Here it says in the purport that someone who can control his senses is actually qualified to accept disciples all over the world. So such a person can become a spiritual master. So if you learn how to control your senses, then according to the scriptures, according to Guru Sadhu Shastra, you can become a guru, and then you can have disciples, people to whom you give the knowledge. Because what we are following, this is a disciplic succession, and the process that we follow is called Avaroha Pata. This is a descending path. We accept the knowledge from authorities. So that's how we receive the knowledge. And here in the Bhagavad Gita, we have the whole disciplic succession. The prominent acharyas are described here. So it all starts with Krishna. Sri Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is the Adi Guru. He is the primeval, or the first spiritual master. And then as we understand from Srimad Bhagavatam, from the second canto of the creation, he gives the knowledge to the first created being, Brahma. So when Brahma is born from the navel of Garbhodakashayi Vishnu, first he is confused. He doesn't know where he is. What is this world about? It's all dark. There is just lotus and the stem. So Brahma is first trying to find the knowledge through his own effort. He's trying to use his material senses and his mind to find the knowledge. What is the world about? What is the goal of life? So he searches all over, and then he goes in the stem, he goes down, but he can't find the end. So he just becomes confused. So then he returns in his lotus, which is the planet Brahmaloka, on which Brahma resides. And then he hears this tapa, the syllables, Sanskrit syllables, which means austerity. So then he understands, I have to do austerity to get the knowledge. So he does the austerity for 100 celestial years. And after that, Krishna is pleased with his austerities. Then he receives the knowledge also in the descending way from Krishna. Through the sound of his flute, he receives the Chatur Shloki of Srimad Bhagavatam, the four original verses of Srimad Bhagavatam. There's a whole description how the knowledge is passed through Brahma. So basically this four verses of Bhagavatam, from that the whole Vedic wisdom of the whole universe is expanded. So that's the beauty of Sanskrit. If you understand Sanskrit, it's all mathematical combinations, you know the grammar, then you can derive so many meanings from one verse. You can expand unlimitedly, basically speaking. Because like, for example, Bhagavad Gita is unlimited knowledge. So in this way, Brahma receives the knowledge, and then he has his son, Narada Muni. Then he receives the knowledge from Brahma. So in this way, there's 32 prominent acharyas, prominent spiritual masters in our sampradaya, in our disciplic line of succession. And then in this way we receive this knowledge. So this is a wonderful process, how we can receive the perfect knowledge from authority. Like Srila Prabhupada, he would give the example of this Shabda Brahman. This is the way of receiving the knowledge by sound vibration through hearing. He would give the example, like for example, how do you know, how do you find out who is your father? He uses the example of getting the knowledge about your father, who is your father. So you ask your mother, she knows, she should know as authority. And then in this way you can immediately receive a perfect knowledge, without doing DNA research or blood tests or whatever, or even without going all over the world and asking every person, are you my father? No. Are you my father? No. It's not practical. You can't do it. So this is the example given, that actually only through hearing from the authority we can receive a perfect knowledge. And there's no other way we can receive a perfect knowledge. We may try with our senses, but how much can we perceive? We can try to think about with our mind, but how much can we think about? Our mind and our senses are very limited. But if you receive the knowledge from authority, and then you apply it, this is the process. It has the three stages. First you hear the knowledge, it's called Shravanam. You hear. Then the Mananam means you contemplate. You think about it, what it is, what does it mean, and then you apply it in your life. So that's the second. You have the Shabda, then you have the then you have the Anuman, which you actually apply your mind on the knowledge you received, and you think about it, how to apply it in your life. You apply it in your life, so that's Mananam, and then you get Nididhyasanam. This is a process where you get the realization. You apply it in your life, then you get the realization. It means you can perceive it with your own senses. So that's the beauty of this knowledge. It's Raja Vidya Raja Guhyam Pavitram Amuktamaksham Pratyakshava Gamam Dharam Susukham Kartum Avyam. This means that this is the king of all education, the secret of all secrets. It is the purest knowledge, and because it gives direct perception of the self by realization, it is the perfection of religion. It is everlasting and it is joyfully performed. So this is what it means. If you apply it in your life, you get the realization. Realization means you will be able to see the knowledge with your own eyes. And that's the Nididhyasanam, or we call it also Pratyaksha. So in this way, the descending process, that this is how it works. You hear it first, you think about it, you contemplate it, you apply it in your life, and then you perceive it with your own senses, you get the realization. So that's what, to get the realization, that this is what it means. You can actually see it with your eyes. You can hear it with your ears. You can smell it by your tongue. You can taste it by your smell it by your nose, taste it by your tongue, touch it by the skin, you know. So that's realization. So this knowledge, this is not just a blind faith, you know. You can verify it by your own senses if you apply it in your life. So that is the perfection of religion, as Krishna describes this knowledge. So this is what is described here. So this is what the self-realization means. Self-realization means you discover who you are first by hearing, contemplating, application, and then you get the realization, you know it by yourself. Like when you eat a good food, nobody has to tell you that your body gets nourished, you get the energy, you feel satisfied. You know it by yourself. So that's the beauty of this knowledge, that you can actually realize it on yourself, and then you know it's true. So it's a beautiful thing. Is any questions on this point? So this materialistic mind creates so many desires. This, it says in Bhagavad Gita, Apuryamanam Achala Pratishtam, that someone who is already self-realized is like a great ocean. And when the desires are, come like the rivers into the ocean, a person is not disturbed. So we have to come to this platform. This platform starts already from the beginning of devotional service, with Shraddha, with the faith, where we first come into contact with the devotees, the Vaishnavas. Then our faith starts. So as more we progress on the path, then when we get purified, then our spiritual life becomes fixed. So then the self-realization becomes more and more serious. When we come to the platform of Bhava, then fully we realize who we are. And then we can also understand what is our spiritual position in the spiritual world. What is our Swarup? We know from the beginning that our Swarup, Swarup Siddhi, is Jivar Swarupoi Krishna Ranityadas, that eternally by nature we are all servants of Krishna. We are all servants of God, expanded from Him. So that's our position actually, to serve Him through His devotee. So if you take this process seriously, then for sure we'll get the realization. And after we awaken our original spiritual consciousness, our original Swarup, then we can return to the spiritual world, and we can take part eternally in the pastimes of Sri Krishna. So that's the beauty actually, that the truth is actually the most beautiful thing. Like some people are afraid of truth. Like there are so many conspiracies and so many theories, and so many people are speculating about the world, about the government and so on. So people are afraid to know the truth. But if you understand the absolute truth, it will free you. You'll become free, like Krishna explains in the fourth chapter. Janma karma cha me divam evam yoveti tatvata tyaktva deham punar janma naiti mameti so Arjuna. That someone who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and qualities and activities doesn't have to take birth in this material world again, but it achieves my eternal abode. So that's the beauty. We can actually go back to the spiritual world in this lifetime. It is possible. We shouldn't be doubting that we can't do it in this life. It's too difficult. It's actually not. We think it's difficult, but it's because we are conditioned with material desires. So those material desires, they keep us They keep us attached. They keep us in this world. So to get free from those desires, by cultivating, we have to cultivate a spiritual life, and in this way we'll gradually get purified. So after we get purified, then we can return to the spiritual world. And that Krishna assures this. He says to Arjuna in the 18th chapter that Sarva Dharma Parityaja Mame Kam Sharanam Vraja Ahantuan Sarva Pape Mamoksha Shami Mashu Chaha. Just surrender all your material desires, just give them up and just surrender to me, and I shall deliver you from all sinful reactions. You don't have to fear about the reactions anymore. You don't have to fear about karma. If you just surrender to Krishna, Sarva Dharman, it doesn't mean you give up your duties. It means you give up the desire to enjoy the results of performing your duties. So if we give those material desires, we give them up, we abandon them, and we just surrender to Krishna, to our body, mind, and the words, then Krishna, He promises that He will take care of us. We don't have to worry about anything. And we many times we have this experience when we go out and we go to preach Krishna consciousness in the streets or the cold cities, then Krishna will finally will arrange everything in such a way that you can see Krishna's hands in the while on your journey, while you go, you can see like Krishna is arranging everything in such a beautiful way. Like today, we went to Namir, and then we're on the way, and then we almost got accident. There was one lady, she was coming from the side road on the main road, but she didn't give the way, so it was Krishna's mercy. We didn't get the accident because there was a distance to stop, but it easily could be. And then we went to we didn't know the way to Namir because we didn't have a GPS, but we went to Namir the other day following another car, and just somehow we went some other way. But we get to that same spot, the car park where we wanted to go, without GPS. So we could see it was Krishna's hand was there. And another thing that everything was full. There were no spaces to park. And then immediately one person, then she just waved that she's going to away, that we can take her post. So everything was arranged. So this is such a beautiful process that you can see that Krishna's hand in your life, how He's guiding your life just when you surrender. Like Lord Ramachandra, he says in the Ramayana that if somebody just once says to me that from this day on, my Lord, I'm yours, I'm surrendering to you, he says that I will take care of this devotee personally, you know. So this is the Krishna karma, this is the Krishna's hand in your life, that He will take care of you. Just if you say this in your heart, you don't have to say it loudly, just say it sincerely in your heart, and Krishna will take care of the rest of your life. You don't have to worry. Is there any questions about this point? Yeah, it says Sevan Mukahijivadan Svayam Eva Spurati Adaha, that the tongue is the chief of all the senses. So you have to engage your sense, the tongue, in the service of Hrishikesh. Hrishikesh is Krishna's another name, is the controller of the senses. So if you engage your tongue in glorifying Hrishikesh by chanting the holy names, by reciting the scriptures, by discussing Krishna Katha with devotees. And this way you are engaging the tongue, the chief of all the senses. And also what is very important is to take Krishna Prasadam. It's one of the basic human needs is to eat, you know. So this Krishna Prasadam, it's so purifying that just if you just see it, then you immediately get purified. But to speak, if you taste the delicious taste of Krishna Prasadam. So this is highly recommended that you only eat Krishna Prasadam as much as you can digest. And in this way your senses will become engaged, you know, because the other senses will follow your tongue. So if you engage your tongue properly, then all the other senses will follow. So in this way you can keep your senses under control by engaging them in the master, in the service of the master of the senses, in the Hrishikesh. So this is the mechanics, you know, this is how it works. But we understand we are not the controller or the enjoyer. So it is our desire that we want Krishna to control our senses. Like you have the picture in Bhagavad Gita here when Krishna is driving the chariot of Arjuna. So Arjuna is there, he's sitting or he's standing, and then Krishna, he drives the chariot. So this also represents this material body. You have the horses, they're like the senses. Five horses, five senses. And you have the ropes, those represent the mind. The mind is holding the senses. And then the person who holds the ropes, Krishna, that's intelligence. So if you put Krishna in the place of your intelligence, then he will take care of the mind and the senses. So it's just the desire, like Arjuna, he could choose, like we know the story from Mahabharata. Then Arjuna and Duryodhana, they together, they went to Dvaraka to get Krishna as their ally for the war. The war was preparing, everybody was preparing their armies and getting allies all over the world. So they thought, okay, this Yadus in Dvaraka, they have a great armies. So if we get them on our side, then we can become very powerful. So they both went, Arjuna and Duryodhana. So Krishna was lying on the bed, and Duryodhana, he thought, okay, because he was very quick, so he arrived first. So okay, Krishna, he has to deal with me first because I arrived first. So that's the etiquette, the Vaishnava, the Vedic culture. You deal with the first guest first. So he arrived first, and the Arjuna, he thought, okay, Krishna is sleeping, so when he wakes up, he will look at his feet. Because like when you lie on your bed, you open your eyes, you look at your feet. So he thought, okay, let me stand there, so if Krishna opens his eyes, he will see me first. Even though Duryodhana came first, he will see me first. So then Krishna, he woke up, he opened his eyes, and he saw Arjuna. He was very happy, and it was also Duryodhana. But then he gave them a choice. He said, "You can." He said to Duryodhana, because he came first, "Either you take my army. There was like I don't know how many millions of Narayan fighters. These are equally powerful as Krishna. Or you can take me on your side, but I will not fight. I promise that I will not fight." So then Duryodhana thought. Then actually, yeah, I think it was Arjuna, he got the first choice. So Arjuna said, "No, I want you on my side." So Duryodhana thought, oh, he's so stupid. He takes Krishna, I will not fight, and I'll get the army of Narayana. So he was very happy. So Duryodhana left very happy. So it was Arjuna's choice, it was his desire that Krishna will be on his side, he will be as his chariot driver. You know, so we have to make this our desire. We want Krishna to be on our side. We want to place Krishna on the place of intelligence. It means that we accept the teachings of Guru Sadhu and Shastra, or the spiritual master, the scriptures, and the saintly devotees, and we put it in our intelligence. So this is what it means. We put it, in the position of intelligence, the instructions of our spiritual master. I know I speak very funny today, but please excuse me. Yeah. So in this way, if you just desire to have Krishna on our side, then He will take care of everything. So that's the beauty. We just have to desire, because this is the only control that we have, is over our consciousness, over our desire. We can control this body only through our desire, but we understand it is the material nature, through the three modes of material nature, that they move this body, the demigods, with the sanction of the super soul, which is residing in the heart of every living being, according to our karma, then this body moves. But it's all that we have is actual desire. So if we understand this, then we should always desire to love Krishna. We should always desire to chant purely the holy name. In this way, we can actually start chant purely the holy name. Shuddhanam. We know there's three stages in chanting the holy name. It's not, the holy name is always pure, but it is our impurities that we cannot chant purely the holy name. So, in the first stage, we commit so many offenses against the chanting of the holy name, so that's called the Nama Aparad. And the immediate stage is the purifying stage, it's a Nama Bhas. And then Shuddhanam is the pure chanting. So we can come from that platform of chanting with offenses to the platform of chanting purely only if we desire to chant purely. We have to desire. We want to love Krishna. We want to chant His holy name purely. You know, just with this desire, and then it will happen. If Krishna allows. Is there any questions? Yes, Mataji. Yeah, if you can do it, then it's the best thing. You just surrender at the spot, everything, like the gopis. Like the gopis that they are given as example. They surrendered everything at the moment they became pure and alloyed devotees. So if you can do it, then it is the best thing to do. And then if you can't do it, then the process of sadhana bhakti is given for us, so we can gradually come to that platform of the full surrender. So, if you practice sadhana bhakti, we have to be patient to come to the platform of prema bhakti through the practice. But if someone can surrender at the moment, then it is the best thing to do. But for us, we're coming from this Mlecha and Yavana background, normally it's very, very hard just to surrender at the spot, because we have so many material desires. So for us, that the process of sadhana bhakti is given, so that we can gradually elevate ourselves. Otherwise, the material desires, they're like an anchor. You know anchor? Like you have a boat, and you have a thing that keeps the boat on one place. You throw it in the water, and then it keeps the boat. So there's a story, I think Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he would say, there's a party, they go for a marriage by boat. So they are in the night, they come to the boat, and then the boatman is supposed to take them across the river to the village, to the next village for the marriage. So this boatman is working whole night, very hard to get the boat on the other side, but he doesn't see anything because it's a dark night. So, and they wake up in the morning, they expected to be already in the village, but they look there on the same place. They didn't move even a meter. And they just asking, what happened? We're supposed to arrive already. We have to be there on the marriage. He says, no, I worked the whole night so hard. How is it possible the boat didn't move even a meter? Because they forgot to take out the anchor that was holding the boat, you know, in the same place, and it was just useless labor. So in this way, it's the material desires that actually they keep us from surrendering fully. So we have to deal with them properly. So that's why for those who cannot remain as a celibate monks for a whole life, as a Nashtika brahmacharis, then the Grihastha ashram is highly recommended. As Srila Prabhupada said, that every woman should get married and every man should remain a brahmachari. It means every man should remain a brahmachari even if they get married. Brahmachari means a student monk. So even if they get married, they still should remain celibate. It means that they have a sex life only for procreation of Krishna conscious children. So that's non-different from celibacy. So that's what it means, that even if the man, if they get married, they should still cultivate celibacy in this way. So this is the glory of this process, that wherever you are, whatever you do, akama sarva sarva kamo akama sarva kamo vamoksha kamo udara dihi. This Bhagavatam explains that if you are full of material desires, or you have no material desires, or if you desire liberation, still you should fully worship the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna. So that's the conclusion. Is it clear, Mataji? Yes? Is there any other question? No? Is everything is clear? Or you didn't understand anything? There's no question. They say, either you understood everything or you didn't understand anything, so you can't ask about anything. Yeah, it's described by the Acharyas, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he describes this, it's called Atma Nivedanam. So it means you have to surrender fully your body, mind, and the intelligence. But because we have material desires, we can't do it. But the gopis, you see the gopis, their position is different. When they're in the Bhumi Leela, when Krishna plays the flute, then those gopis who are more purified, they immediately go for Rasa Leela. But those that are not, then they're still attached to their family life. So they stay with their house with the family. Then when they miss that opportunity, by that lamentation, they get purified. So next time when they call for Rasa Leela, for the Rasa dance, then they are ready to go. So you have to be patient. And by the power of lamentation from Krishna, the separation, this Vipralamba, that will help you, you know, to develop the desire. So this is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, what he brought was the most special thing, is the love in separation. It's called Vipralamba Bhav. If you develop this love in separation, then that is the highest thing. Yes? Do you have any question? No. Okay, thank you. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai. Samaveta Bhakta Vrinda ki jai. Jainitai Govra Premanande. Hari Hari.